because it's something that's heavy on the hearts of everybody. It's not something that just affects a few people. The whole country is hurting. The whole country is mourning over such a terrible event. It designed to put fear in the hearts of people. It's something that we won't forget. Something that has never taken place like this before on our shores. It's happened around the world. We've seen it before in other countries, and it's always been over there. But to see something so terrible like this happen in our own country, in our own backyard, it is a scary thing. To see the results of such evil intent in a person. And as the papers reported, when he was brought into court with a smile on his face, it makes people ask questions. Why? Where's the justice? Where is God? How could God allow such a cruel, evil thing in a peaceful country like ours? The questions keep coming and coming. And as I share this message with you this morning, I'm reminded that my job as a preacher of the Word of God is, first of all, yes, to explain the Bible, what it says, and then relate it to our lives. But sometimes, like this, I feel we have to take our lives and then look into the Bible to try to find some explanation for it. And before I go any further into the message, there's just a few things that I want to first say, preliminary. And the first is that, like you, I also heard about this. And I've been in somewhat shock and disbelief over it. I think of the families left behind and cannot imagine the hurt that they're feeling at this time. And yes, I have questions that come into my mind too. That happens. So I hurt, you hurt. Also, like you, I may not be able to answer all the questions, but I hope I at least can draw us to the Word of God and allow the Word of God, allow God through His Word to speak to us through it. And then third, my desire is for us to be able to respond as a Christian. We're Christians first. I'm very proud of this country and seeing the police responders, it makes me proud of them. Seeing the emergency people, seeing the other leaders and their response and the words that they had to say, even seeing the prime minister speak, it makes me proud of this country. I love New Zealand. In fact, about 3 weeks ago, Jen and I finally applied for citizenship. We haven't gotten it yet. They didn't say yes to us. But we finally said, it's time to apply. I mean, I've been here for 45 years probably. So it's time to get our citizenship. And we would be proud Kiwis. We love this country. But as we sing, God Defend New Zealand, I remember my citizenship is heaven, ultimately. That's my final home. And I'm thankful that this world is not my home. And we are strangers and pilgrims in this world because this world is fallen and it's full of evil. And we see it. And we saw a glaring reminder of it this week. And so our home is heaven. We keep our focus there as we're walking and living and working through this world. So I want to turn to a book in the Bible which, to me, is a word of encouragement. Psalm chapter 46. Psalm 46. This psalm was written during times of difficulty, during times of problems and uncertainty. The world around the writer seems to be falling down. And so it's difficult. And you're going to notice as we read through this psalm that there's three places that you're going to see a word. The word is Selah or Selah. This happens occasionally throughout the Psalms. Selah. You'll see it in verse 3, verse 7, verse 11. There's only 11 verses in the psalm, but it's used three times. What is it referring to? The best. Well, that's embarrassing. Okay, thank you. So a reminder, please mute at least your devices. Let's get our focus on the word. The best understanding, I believe, that it's a term. It's an expression for a reason. Remember, all the psalms were actually sung by the people of Israel. And in this way, they were songs. And they were able to memorize and remember them as they would sing them. And so the Hebrew, for this word selah in Hebrew, simply appears to be a musical pause or rest, but it's more than that. It's for a purpose of reflection and of meditation. And so as we come to the three places here in verse 3, verse 7, verse 11, then we're going to keep that division in this psalm and pause for reflection as well. What is God saying to us in these parts of this psalm? You also notice at the very beginning, it says, to the chief musician, a psalm of the sons of Korah, a song for Alamoth. And that word Alamoth is a challenge as well. What exactly is Alamoth? And again, I believe that it may be referring to a musical term. It's often referring to women or maidens in relation to them. So it could have been this particular psalm was one for high voices, one for the ladies to sing out. But in it, we're going to see three main focuses here. Remind us of three things in time of trouble. Let's take a look at the first. The first is that we need to run to God in times of trouble. Let's look at verse number one. To the chief musician, a psalm of the sons of Korah, a song for Alamoth. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear. Even though the earth is removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though its waters roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with its swelling, Selah. God is there to be our refuge in times of trouble. The word here for refuge literally means a shelter. God wants us to run to Him in these times of trouble. It was this very chapter of Psalm 46. It was this chapter that inspired the reformer Martin Luther to write a song. That song was "A Mighty Refuge Is Our God." You know the song? In this song, though, he rallies Christian brothers and sisters together to stand against evil, to stand against the sin and evil that is prevalent in the world. As you read through the verses of "A Mighty Fortress Is Our God," I came to the third verse, and it struck me. He said in the third verse, we have some slides up. Wow, we have some workers up late getting this together. Thank you, whoever was helping with this. I appreciate that. But the third verse says, "And though this world with devils filled should threaten to undo us, we will not fear, for God hath willed His truth to triumph through us. The prince of darkness grim, we tremble not for him. His rage we can endure, for lo, his doom is sure. One little word shall fell him." Again, Luther, in these words here, is encouraging us to stand firm, knowing God is going to overcome. He is strong. He is our refuge. We go to God in times of trouble. The prince of darkness grim, we will not tremble for him. Friends, in crises like what we've seen, where you don't know all the answers, we can see people, some people can run to God, but there's other people who seek to run away from God, or they get angry with God. They shake their fist and they say, "Why, God? How could you? How could you allow such a thing?" God is the refuge, and he calls people to come to him. He says, a very present help in trouble. He's quick to give assistance. If God is our refuge, you don't have to worry, even though things appear to be falling down around you. In verse number 2, the writer of Psalm 46, he begins to think of any possible number of calamities that could come. And he describes things like earthquakes or volcanic eruptions, the earth itself be removed, some huge cataclysmic events that take place that would shake anybody, the mountains be removed. This is what he's describing. In verse 3, he says, though the waters roar and be troubled. The word roar here means to rage, to make calamity, and to make war. So it's a huge, tumultuous activity that really just disrupts everything. It's a picture of life that's surrounded by uncertainty and trying to imagine the scariest things that could happen to you, the scariest possible things. This is what the writer is trying to get us to imagine and see. And so he's saying basically that when our sense of stability and confidence is gone, and if we have, when it comes to things like mountains and the earth itself, you know, this is the most stable thing that we could possibly think of. These things don't change. These things don't move, but the writer is describing these as being destroyed, and these as falling apart. So the very stable things that you think just cannot be affected, that's what he's talking about. So when our sense of helplessness and fear comes, it should bring us to our knees before him, not away from him. He is the refuge. We need to come to God, seek him in it. And then he says, Selah. Again, the pause for reflection, a pause for meditation. And I urge you this morning, take time now to think on these things. Seek refuge in him. The Bible tells us in 2 Chronicles 7, verse 14, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land. Church, if there's sin to confess in our lives or in our church, in your family, whatever it may be, this is where it begins. And God has made a promise here. As we come to him, our refuge, as we seek him in prayer, we confess our wrongs to him, he will listen. He will heal. God is the refuge. The next section that we see here is in verses 4 to 7, and that is simply God is always there. Look at verse number 4. He says, there is a river whose stream shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacle of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God shall help her just at the break of dawn. The nations raged, the kingdoms were moved. He uttered his voice, the earth melted. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge, Selah. Again, a time to pause. God protects us when we seek refuge in him. But the good news is we don't have far to go because God is there. God is always there. The river of verse 4, the river whose stream shall make glad the city of God, is interesting. It is a river that flows gently through what is called the city of God, which is the name given for the city of Jerusalem. And the interesting thing is that Jerusalem, as beautiful a city as it was, it wasn't known for a river that went through the city. Many other great cities had rivers. Rome had the Tiber, was it? Babylon had the Euphrates. Egypt was known for its civilizations along the Nile. But Jerusalem did not have a river flowing through it. But it talks about this river that brings a joy and a peace and a calmness. And it's not a physical river. God's grace flows through like a river. And as the oceans rage and storm and bring the calamity and make war, God's presence is depicted as a gentle flowing stream through his holy city. The image here is one of happiness, one of joy, one of peace, at the same time when all around us is falling apart. Verse 7 declares that in the midst of the turmoil, in the midst of it, the Lord of hosts is with us. God is with us. This is what this image is. God is always there. He is present. He is that gentle flowing river bringing the peace, the happiness, the refreshing in the times of turmoil all around us. And the oceans are raging and the earth is shaken and the mountains have fallen down. God is there. God is with us. What was Jesus' name according to Matthew 1:23? Behold, the virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is translated God with us. That was what the angel told them. This is Emmanuel. This is God with us. He is present with you. And so the depiction here is that when we come to him for refuge, when we look to him, he is that gentle flowing river that brings the joy and peace in a time of calamity. It is God that is with us. And we who have come and turned to Jesus Christ, we have that peace. That peace, the Bible says, passes all understanding. When our faith is in Christ Jesus, we have God with us at all times. Now, friends, we know that God's presence with us isn't the same as a blanket promise that he will always prevent calamity and harm that takes place around us. And that's why the psalm writer is writing that things are falling apart all around him. But there is a calm and a peace in the calamity. He will not leave us, and we are secure in him no matter what happens to us. After talking about some hard times and trials that we may go through, the Apostle Paul writes this in Romans chapter 8, when he says, I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. He is that river. He is that refuge. He is that peace that we have And no matter what comes, Paul was saying here, no matter who may have evil intent, he rested assured in the knowledge that nothing can separate him from God. God is with us. And then the writer concludes with Selah. A pause, a reflection, a meditation to contemplate this truth. Thank God in your heart that He is always there. He is Emmanuel. He is God with us. In the last part, the last section here we see is in verses 8 to verse 11. That is, God is still on the throne. God is still on the throne. He's the one in charge. We see these bad things that happen, and it catches us by surprise. But we need to remember that these things don't blindside God. All through history, there's been things that have taken place, and we haven't seen it coming. But God is in control. God will have a plan. God will judge. God has a justice that will prevail in the end. And we can be assured of that. Verse 8. Come, behold the works of the Lord, who has made desolations in the earth. He makes war cease to the end of the earth. He breaks the bow and cuts the spear in two. He burns the chariot in the fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge, Selah. So the Lord calls out at this time, come, behold, or come, see the works of the Lord. God calls on us, even during times of calamity, to come to Him. Come see Him. See His way, His plan. He has a purpose and a plan. There may be people around us, there may be people around you in the coming times who need help or need answers, or maybe it says people angry, making accusations against God. We, as a body of Christ, need to be able to help. And we help by having biblical responses and biblical answers to them, for them. Again, you may not have every answer, but you have some answers. You do have some answers. Verse 9 reminds us, God ultimately is in charge. And broken bows are of little use to the person holding them. Broken spears, likewise, can do nothing. Chariots on fire or chariots of fire, it's not advisable to use them. God is the one who is going to put a stop to everything. God has a plan. His will prevail. He will make everything right. He will make all things new. And we have the advantage as believers of knowing God's plan. He's given us a glimpse of it anyway. As we read Revelation, as we read the end times and what He is going to do. And He will bring judgment. He will bring justice. He will bring righteousness to the earth again. He says, be still and know that I am God. Don't worry. Yes, you may not have the full picture God has. You may have just a little bit. But He says, don't worry, be still. That word, be still, it means to literally let your hands fall to your side. Let your hands fall to your side. That means stop trying. That means to give up. To let it go, to let God be the one in charge. God is the one on the throne. Let Him do His work. Trust in Him. And then we have the reminder that God will be exalted. And the Bible tells us that at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow in heaven and earth. God is going to be exalted. His will be done, and he will be victorious in the world over evil. This passage here is kind of a reminder and kind of a rebuke to us. Give up. You're not God. God himself is God, and he is the one ultimately in control. He is the one that is still on the throne. Stop striving, stop guessing, and let God be God. And then he says, Selah, once again. One final Selah. To be still before God. Affirm in your heart this morning that this attribute of God, that he is sovereign, he is still in control, and let God be God. Be still and know that he is God, and that he will be exalted among the nations. So in closing this morning, what can we do? Can I give you a few suggestions of what we can do at this time? First of all, just make sure that you are right with God. You're walking with him by faith, yes. But you're walking with him. You're following him. You're in obedience to him. Make sure your life is right before God. We don't have a guarantee how long our life will be. James tells us that our life is but a vapor. And so we don't know how long we have. Here a moment, gone the next. So I encourage you and urge you, be ready. Be right with God now while you can. If you are a believer, a Christian, a brother and sister in Christ, be walking with the Lord. If there is some indwelling sin going on in your life, confess that to him. Forsake it. Follow the Lord. Stop compromising with Satan. Stop compromising with the world. It's time for Christians to be able to stand out. If you're here and you've never trusted Jesus, I encourage you to get right with the Lord now. Everyone is called on to repent. Everyone must be saved. There is no exceptions. You must be born again, Jesus said. There is only one way to the Father, that is through Jesus. There aren't multiple options. God gave us his Son. God gave us the one. So make sure you're right with God. But the second thing is be looking for the Lord's return. These things like this are a reminder to us that the world is not forever and the world is evil. We see that. At times we may forget it and life is going just fine. But there are some times where we're reminded painfully that the world is evil. This world is not eternal. The Bible tells us that the Lord is coming back. We don't know when. Jesus did tell us of some signs that we can look for, and as we look at the signs, we see that his return could come at any time. As we see the signs of the earthquakes and the wars, rumors of wars, and the conflict in families, the conflict of people, and just increasing, the sin and wickedness increasing. And we say, Lord, he could return quickly. We're to be ready. Be ready. Be walking with the Lord. Make sure you're right with God. And be ready for his return. But thirdly, speak to others about Jesus. And we know that this past week, these were Muslims that were targeted. They were Muslim believers worshiping in a mosque, or a couple of mosques, apparently. How does this make you feel? It should break your heart. Break your heart. Pray for them. find opportunities to share the love of God, the love of Jesus Christ with Muslims around you, Muslim neighbors. They need the Lord just like anybody else. And just the thought that so many might have gone on to a Christless eternity should break your heart. Speak to others about the Lord. 4, stop playing church. Be serious about the Lord and about living for Him. Stop playing games with it. Obey Him in your life. Obey the Word of God. And 5, make a better effort to love people different than us. Love other people that are different than us. One thing that is too easy for a church sometimes to do is to get really comfortable with your own. Comfortable with others that you know are believers around you. Because it is comfortable. And you like to be together. And we have that fellowship. And there's a time for that. And it's a good thing. But we need to make a better effort to love people that are different than us. Jesus actually said we're to love our enemies. We're to pray for our enemies. Now, these folks that were targeted, they're not our enemy. But the point of Jesus still stands, to love and to pray for others that are different than you. God calls us to love and pray for them. Let us be faithful in these things. Be right with God. Be looking for the Lord's return. Speak to others about Jesus and get serious about the Lord. Stop playing church and make an effort to love people that are different than us. Would you stand with me? We had 3 Selahs this morning. So I guess this is kind of the 4th Selah. This is the time that I'm asking you to stop and reflect, pause, meditate on these things, the things that we've heard this morning. My friend, do you know, first of all, are you right with God? Is there anybody here that might say, Pastor Kim, I don't know about my relationship with God, I'm not sure. I don't know if I have a relationship with God. It's something that I am concerned about. Would you raise your hand, Pastor Ken? I'm not sure if I have a relationship with God. I'm concerned about this, though. Just pray for me. Would you raise your hand? Just pray for me. My friend, maybe God is speaking to you about something else at this time. Maybe you have questions, and I think that's okay too. But there are some things that you can do, and that's what we've been talking about this morning. We affirm God to be our refuge. We affirm that God is always there. We affirm that God is on the throne, and we can be still and know that He is God. Maybe God is speaking to you about people in your life that He would have you to speak to share Jesus with. And maybe you've been silent about it. Not only do we not have knowledge of how long a life we have, we don't know how long they have. And every day there are more that go off into eternity that didn't plan to. But they're gone. Maybe there's just some things in your life that you know is not pleasing to the Lord. This is time to bring confession to Him. The prophet said, if my people, or God said through the prophet, if My people will humble themselves, will confess, will pray, then I will hear. Starts with the people of God. Common in contrite confession, in humbleness. Let's pray. Lord, I pray that you would hear your people as we come to you. Lord, comfort our hearts, still our minds. May we be reminded this morning that you are our refuge. You are always there. You are God. You are on the throne, and we can be still. And I pray that we would take these truths this morning, that we would leave this place, that we would be walking with you, looking for your return, yes, but that we'd also be willing to speak of Jesus, share good news, that, Lord, we would make a stronger effort to love people who may be not the same as us, may be different than us. They may be unbelievers. They may be of a different culture completely. But Lord, help us to love them as you've commanded us to. Lord, may your people come to you in prayer, in humility, in confession, seeking you. May you hear us, and may you heal our land. In Jesus' name, amen. Would you please take a seat, Pastor Mike?
Thank you for the message this morning. We have just a few announcements and things that we would like to share with you before we are dismissed. The Women's Prison Ministry, we've been mentioning this for a couple of weeks. Today's the final day. If you have any donations of the clothing items that was needed, then you can leave those with Gina today. The basket is right in the back. She's going to be delivering those to the prison today. This is the scheduled day for her to be able to go in and minister to the ladies with the worship service as well. The combined youth service coming up on the 22nd of March. That's really short time. Josh, did you want to mention anything about that?
All right, so next Friday, we're having our first combined youth service of the year with everyone, Cornerstone, South Auckland, and a few other churches around. We're going to be meeting over in Tongariro College's gym next Friday, okay? And that's the address there, and I'll send a message out to the parents. It's just right down Tiarangi around Dawson Road area. So Cornerstone is hosting it. They've hired out the gymnasium for all of us. So if you can, please bring along $2 for contribution as an entry, and wear sports clothing for some games, and bring your Bibles. And we're going to be meeting here, and well, we'll try and leave here at 6:15 from church to go there. If you can't make it here at 6:15, let us know, and can you please drop your kids off at the gym, and if you are going to meet here, please let us know as well so we know to wait for you or not. Okay, mm-hmm. So thank you.
Okay, thanks for that, Josh. And then also the Kids Club. Kids Club is still looking for some help in two areas, and it's a help in the special needs team, and then also a helper for someone who can plan and lead the activities games. So if that sounds like a ministry area that you're interested in, or something that you have experience in, or more importantly, the Lord is speaking to your heart about that, then come and see Miss Jennifer, Pastor Ken's wife, and she will give you all the details of what's needed there. Our missionaries were praying for Stephen Lynn Spohr specifically this week in Vanuatu. So as often as the Lord lays them upon your heart, just remember them in prayer this week, as well as our other missionary letters. And we've placed all the missionary letters on the board, the new ones that have come in just this week. So in just a few moments, we're going to be dismissed for Sunday school. When we are dismissed for Sunday school, though, we are going to be meeting in here, adults. We're not going to be going through our Bible study time as we normally do. We're going to be having a special prayer time, so we invite all of you who can stay for that. And also the teen group. Josh, you're going to be meeting in here as well as with the teen group. The children's ministries will continue on in the back as planned. However, parents, if you would like for your children, some of the children to be in here with us during this prayer time for all of the events that have happened this weekend, then that is okay as well. So the Sunday school time is not our regular teaching time, specifically dedicated for prayer. Pastor Ken's going to lead us through that, and we're going to all take different portions of prayer. So that's all of the announcements that we need to share with you. Before we're dismissed, maybe you're celebrating, though, a birthday or an anniversary. We'd like to recognize you and recognize that birthday or anniversary as well. Anyone with a birthday this week? Anyone celebrating a birthday? Come on up here. Happy birthday to you. Anyone else with a birthday this week? Anyone celebrating a birthday? How about wedding anniversaries? Anyone else with a wedding anniversary this week? No one? Let's all stand together. We're going to sing Happy Birthday, and then we'll be dismissed in a time of prayer. Happy.
God bless you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday. Let's be dismissed in prayer, get something to drink, and enjoy some fellowship. And I encourage you, let's come to the Lord together in prayer. 10 o'clock. Let's be here. Thank you, Lord, for your word to us today, during this week, during this time. I pray, Lord, that we remember these words. Lord, as Luther wrote, a mighty fortress is our God. Lord, may we remember you are that fortress. May we come to you for shelter. Lord, may we be still and know that you are God. Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you.